Welcome to SMR's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. This past week's most popular post on sportsmedres.org discussed a recent study that found that individuals with a history of an anterior cruciate ligament injury are more likely to have certain genetic variants compared with individuals without a history of a knee injury. While these findings are novel and interesting, researchers need to conduct more research to understand the multifactorial genetic risk behind anterior cruciate ligament injuries. If we could identify factors that may predict who is at an increased risk for anterior cruciate ligament rupture, then we may be able to implement individualized injury prevention programs. Genetic variants may change ligamentous properties, predispose an individual to an ACL rupture, and thus be an important risk factor for an ACL rupture. Mannion and colleagues compared the presence of genetic variations between 227 individuals with an ACL rupture history and 234 healthy controls. All of the participants were physically active and Caucasian. The authors also analyzed a subset of 126 individuals with a history of a non-contact ACL rupture. They evaluated 10 genetic variants, known as single nucleotide polymorphisms, among 5 genes that encode proteoglycans, which influence the structural integrity of ligaments. Individuals with a history of an ACL injury were more likely to have a genetic variation in a gene encoding aggrecan, a key proteoglycan, compared with healthy individuals. Females with a history of an ACL injury were also more likely to have variations in the gene encoding desorin, another proteoglycan, compared with healthy female control. This is one of the first studies to investigate and identify genetic variations that may be related to a history of an ACL injury. These findings help us understand that an ACL may be at more risk for injury due to changes in proteoglycans, which may alter the ligament's tensile threshold. At this point in time, this does not directly affect clinical treatments. However, these findings could inspire new interventions to address changes in proteoglycans and eventually help us identify individuals at risk for an ACL injury. This may help us prevent injuries by identifying athletes at risk and offering them individualized injury prevention programs. While the authors showed that the genetics may influence the risk of ACL injuries, it only focused on 10 variants of 5 genes. Since the risk of an ACL injury is likely to be influenced by many genes, it may be advantageous to conduct genome-wide studies to encompass all the possible genes and variations that influence the risk of an ACL injury. We have repeatedly seen that genetic variations may influence the risk of injury, and that it could influence how we practice, but we'll need to watch this area of research carefully to see how it unfolds. This past week, we also had 2 other posts on sportsmedres.org. That's res.org. The first post discussed a study that found that in rugby, illegal collision tackles caused the most injuries per contact and weeks missed due to injury. 6% of scrums, a relatively controllable event, collapse. However, the propensity for injury is 4 times higher and the severity is 6 times greater than non-collapsed scrums. The second post introduced the IOC's consensus statement regarding the female athlete triad and relative energy deficiency in sport. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. For example, this past week, our social media posts included a news article about preliminary data that suggested platelet-rich plasma may be more effective than cortisone for severe hip bursitis. Another news article discussed preliminary data that indicated that universal neuromuscular training for adolescent athletes is an effective and inexpensive way to prevent ACL injuries. So remember to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.